Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. I mean, God's saying, I'm going to kill them and start over with you.
Right.
So, I mean, it's God, so it's got to be an okay thing, right?
That's what he said.
And so, you know, most would probably say, yeah, it's been a journey ever since, you know, ever since my first attempt at ministry. I tried to help them. They tried to kill me then. And, yeah, take him out. I'm sure we can do something else, right? I mean, think about it. But Moses didn't. Moses didn't do that. Moses loved God so much he understood that if this happened, it would look bad on God. Because he would say, Moses as God led them in the wilderness, but he couldn't keep them in the wilderness.
Mm. Wow.
For your name's sake. A lot of people think, well, I can do anything. No, God's just good keeping his namesake. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And for your namesake. And so, you know, the Lord says, well, all right, I got to get out of here like any father would. I just can't look at my children right now. I can't look at what just happened. I just got to step away from this for a moment. I love them. It's going to work out. But I'm just going to send a babysitter. I'm going to send an angel to watch over them. And give him time because he's going to fall in love. He's in love. It'll work through it. And I mean, look at this situation that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is God showing us his heart. And he said the reason why he took them in the wilderness was to reveal their heart to them. And it's like, how many times does your heart have to be revealed to you for you're in touch with you need to humble yourself because your heart's not good. Our hearts are not good. Don't trust your own heart.
No.
Humble yourself before God. Realize he's good. He's the one leading us to a place to be with him forever. So they began to say they were hungry, and so the Lord explained how he's going to feed them. He was going to feed them every day, and it's going to come just enough for that day. Why? Because we have to learn that every day, everything comes from God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get too much, if God gives us 2 or 3 days, human nature is, all of a sudden somebody starts saying, I don't need to follow God anymore. I got enough manna for a whole month. You know, I got this job. This is my country. I've done this. You know, my hands have built this. This is my house. I'm not going to, it's like, oh, don't you, what happened? And so he just, for a period of time, just gave them enough for that day. You'd rain down just enough. And if they got more than that much, it would just mold and rot.
Yeah.
One proverb says, or one psalm says, Lord, give me enough where I don't have to steal, but don't give me too much where I leave you. Just my daily bread. And that's the place to be, and that number's different for everyone. And you know when you've exceeded it, when you said no to God, or you hesitated. That's how you know you exceeded it. So you need to back off a little bit. You're getting too much stuff and things and too much manna.
That's right.
And so, and then he's feeding them every day. They're thirsty. All of a sudden, the Lord's giving them water from a rock. I mean, water is coming from a rock. It's coming from a rock. And now you walk up to it like a water fountain that some school and cycle and not even pay attention. It's coming from a rock. It's coming from water's coming from your life, your the flow, the ebb and flow of life. The resources, the air that you breathe, the life that you live comes from God. What happened to mankind in the church to even think that God is not sustaining you? What happened? It's pride. It's pride. And God resists the proud. He resists us. We don't need God resisting us. We need God. I mean, this is our nature. We have to humble. We can't act like we humble ourselves. It can't be, you know, false humility. It can't be false humility. You can't just act like you're humble because it's not going to work. Your arm's still, you're still going to get ashy. You're still going to fall apart. Things are going to go right. You know, you're going to be pacing and biting on yourself and chewing on your fingernails and chewing all kinds of stuff and gnawing at you and ulcers and all this kind of stuff. And people say, what's wrong with you? Oh, no, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's just always inherited. Walking around with all that stuff in your heart. Listen, we need God. God wants us. But that happens when we humble ourselves. It's not the gospel that primarily is being preached in America. I'm sorry, it's not. You got to behold the kindness and the sternness of God. Yes, God was merciful towards Israel, but remember, he says, don't forget. He tells us in the new covenant, don't forget those in Israel who died because of their disobedience. He tells us, don't forget about the angels who stepped down from their places of authority. Don't be like that. And then while he's feeding them, while he's sustaining them, manna every single day, Israel begins to complain about the same food. Get the same. I want something new. Give me something new. You know, I want new stuff and new things. I'm just tired of this place. Give me a new place. God, I'm just tired of these clothes. This food, you know, it's food from God. Ooh. It's a job from God. What are you saying? You're tired of that job. Give it to the 25 million that are looking for one. Give it to the 80% of the world, you know, that's begging for an opportunity that, like you got in America. Tired of my job. Give us more, God. We want stuff that happens in the world. We ate so many steaks in Egypt. We ate quail. That's right. We ate bird. We ate quail. And we had this manna stuff coming from heaven. Water from a rock, but now you want something from the world. So amazing. So amazing. And so he gives it to them. They wanted quail. God takes his arm and literally just, and Moses is going like, there's not birds around. How could this happen? And of course, the hand of God just brings down so many quail and they're flying so low that people can just grab them and take them. And they just imagine, because it was built on lust. You know, we want stuff in the world. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. And God let him have so much of the world, so much of the quail, that was literally the quail, the bird that they ate, was coming out their noses. Look at all the money I got. Look at all the cars I got. Look at all the stuff I got and things. And, yeah, it's coming out your nose. And look how miserable you are. And you can't even afford the therapy. And he said, while the provision was in their teeth, while the meat was in their teeth, the one that you say you love, he said, God's anger burned against Israel at that very moment. Just because you got what you want don't mean God's pleased with you. Don't quit writing. Stop writing that book. Listen, church, we are in crucial times. I mean, ministers who stand behind the pulpit don't even believe God speaks. Doesn't even believe that God speaks. Think about it. That's amazing. They don't even trust the voice of God. They just trust what their memory is. They trust what they studied in the cranial part in the frontal lobe of their brains. Like God's not alive today. Like the book of Revelation didn't say, hear what the Spirit says to the church now. My sheep follow my voice. That God does speak. He speaks to a man in his deep sleep and he warns him. Like a messenger by his bedside that he would not burn in hell. Listen, our God speaks. Then judgment came. All of a sudden, people began to suffer consequences. And then the Lord said, I'll tell you what, just raise up the very thing that's destroying them. Because snakes came amongst them. And back then, when you died from a snake bite, it would be a miserable death for days. It would be a terrible, and there's, you know, you're in the wilderness, but the snake bites would do that. And the terror and the snake bites and all the things taking place. And so God tells them, lift up the very thing that's destroying them. Right? Mm-hmm. And they have to look to it to be healed for the snakes to leave, the devastation to stop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The patience and the love of God. But you have to understand, that generation that did all that, they didn't go in. They didn't go into the promised land. They didn't go in. People are like, yeah, yeah. They didn't go in.
Right.
They didn't. They were so. They carried this whole mentality all the way to the promised land. When God brought them to the very place that they were, the blessing, the place of flowing with milk and honey, they complained up to the last second when finally they went in and saw lamb, milk, and honey and grapes and all this provision. They were like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to do something to get it.
Right.
You know, we have to do something to get it. We're used to socialism. We're used to, you know, just waking up and there's something on the ground. I pick it up, stuff it in my mouth, and we just move on. I'm used to my shoes not wearing out. I want to go back to the place that I did nothing. And they complain. Here he brought them to a blessing. To a blessing. It's like, are you still complaining in your tents? Are you still rambling on and thinking about yourself, and you're still in pride at this moment after all that God has shown you? Listen, he loves you. He's wanting to encounter you. He's wanting to bless you. The concern is you'll forget him when you get in there. So when they came back talking about the promised land and the price that would have to be paid to be able to take it, the giants, many reported fear, terror, inability, can't be done, too big, too high. So much so that Moses, who looked at the face of God, went on his face and began to cry out and thinking, it's like, I'm sure he probably was just literally losing it. Oh my gosh. He did 40 years to do 40, right? He did 40 to do 40. He did 40, you know, in the wilderness with Jethro to come back and do another 40 with these people who've been rebelling the whole single time. You know, all the quail nostril doctors that had to come in and remove the quail from their noses, the snake bites, the bitter waters, all this kind of stuff is like, no, we're not going to be able to get in. Oh, my goodness. These guys are not brave enough to walk in and take a gift because it's going to cost them something. Because they got to do differently than what they did before, and they're not willing to put the effort and the energy out, and they can't get their mind off themselves long enough. They're not willing to die for a cause for the next generation. And do you understand? If they would have walked in, their children would have been in a blessed generation, a blessed place. But you know what? This is what God said. You will not enter in, not one of you. Not one will enter in of this generation. I don't even want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. You will die off. And the three, actually two, that gave a report that they believed me, Joshua and Caleb, they will lead your children in. So for years, the children would just look and wait for their parents to die. How long will you live? The longer you live, the longer I am in this desert. Don't you know there's a place of milk and honey in God that I can't go to until you die? That was it. That was the whole thing. It was a known thing, right? You got to die. Yeah. Just die already. We're ready to go in. We would have went in. I can't believe that you blew this freedom that God's given us. And we're spending all this time in the wilderness when I could have been growing up eating honey, drinking milk, eating grapes, plowing land that produced, being fruitful. But now we're living out here. Die already. If you're not going to do anything for God, listen, it's appointed once to die. Why not just hurry up? Because there's a generation rising up, a Joshua generation that says, you know what, I'll take, if it takes four of us to climb up his head and jump on top of him and shoot a little slingshot like David, well, I know God's going to direct it. I'm not going to live in this wilderness no more. Isn't that terrible? People looking at you just waiting for you to die. Waiting for you to die. And of course, the whole mindset that got them there, you know, they're probably going like, y'all just waiting for me to die. You're just waiting for me to die. Something is about them still. You're like,
I will stay alive.
Have you read the history books lately? Yes, it's we're waiting for you to die.
All right.
Did you see what happens? You turned it down. We're going in. We're going in for our lot. We're going in for our measure. We're going in for our blessing. You think about it. And finally, you get that last guy, right? He's hanging in there. He's like 300 years old. You know, he's hanging around. Everybody's leaning over his bed. Oh, he's about to go. We going in, right? We going in. No. Keep the pillow back. He's got to die naturally. He's got to die naturally, you know. And that last breath, that last person gave the last breath. It was a sign that we were about to go into a land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Protect your kids. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And while it's important to shelter your children, Dr. Julie Slattery says you and your spouse need to agree on a game plan for your teen, who demands more adult responsibilities.
I grew up in a Christian home. I was used to being somewhat sheltered from some of the things of the world. He was thrown right in the middle of it. And so his approach is much more, let's expose the boys to things and coach them through them so that they can make their own decisions, whereas I am more apt to want to protect and shelter.
You and your mate need to discuss how to best transfer decision-making to your teen. Try to be on the same page and give gentle, loving guidance as a parent. That can go a long way in reassuring your child that you believe they have what it takes to be a successful adult. More trusted advice for training teens at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we are believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, say you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, mm-hmm. and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. Pride, self-awareness, kept them out. He began again with Moses and their children.
Yeah.
He did begin again. And then he tells us in Jude, he said, don't be like them. Don't be like that generation. They took a 40-day journey, and for every day they grumbled and complained, God gave them another year. Mm. And if you're still complaining that you're in the wilderness, think about that. For every day you do that, you can get another year in your present condition. Mm. Think about it.
That's right.
Just feel like the Lord is just really laying on my heart to encourage you. Just like, just, it's not about you. I mean, it is about you. He loves you, but it's not about you. It's about God and you. It's about God loves you so much. And all this state as America right now, to at this moment, Supreme Court is about to make one final vote to see if we're going to be totally 100% Sodom and Gomorrah or not. You, the church, are talking about you and your stuff and your things. Marriage looks like junk. Family looks like chaos. And the truth is, if your God told you that this is the order of marriage and you were confronted with it, you wouldn't even serve him. You're not serving him now. You're just forming your God to be like you think it is. I'm not going to submit to my husband. Don't you understand how we've evolved? You know, I'm not going to lead my wife. I'm not going to follow my parents. The president himself told me to organize and tell my parents what they need to do. He's telling everybody, listen, those that are supposed to be following leadership, this is the spirits in the land, organized against authority. He did it in Israel just a couple of days ago.
Yep.
You know what? And the bride is so narcissistic. She doesn't even realize she's being surrounded. She doesn't even realize that wolves are walking around her and about to devour her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just thinking, what am I going to eat today? What's my next car? What am I going to do when I retire? I think I'm going to build bigger barns.
Huh.
I'm going to build bigger barns. Oh, me, my, mine. Listen. God is saying America is about to be put under bondage no matter what anybody's telling you. Now, the church will thrive. It doesn't matter where she is. But if America, if the church in America, if my people who are called by my name, when I send plagues, when I send locusts, when I bring famine upon the land, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then everybody else in America will benefit. Quit blaming politics and stop blaming Washington, D.C. and stop blaming Pilate. Remember, Pilate wanted to let Jesus go.
Mm-hmm.
But the people insisted that the president do what he's doing. Our president is a politician. And a politician who's a politician will go with the majority. And guess what? He's a very good politician. He is not our problem. He is not our problem. Pray for him. He is our response. Right. He is the response of the people of America who have turned their back on God and said, I want all the lusts of my flesh and I demand it and I want it to be legal and I want it to happen now. And this is our moment. This is our time. And let me tell you what's on the other side of this. The other side of that one vote. The other side of this one decision, when you think, oh, wow, we finally got our way, is chains. It's bondage. It's oppression. Remember, God, no matter what you think, even though you got quail coming out your nose, God's anger is burning against America and the church. Get your home in order. Get your heart in order. If you don't pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow Jesus, he said, you can have no part of me. Many people will come to me on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not build big churches? And did we not sing many songs? And did we not prophesy many prophecies? And did we not profound wisdom come out of our mouths? And he'll say, I never knew you. And then he'll say, away from me, you evildoers, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, this is the true gospel. These are the red letters in the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. He loves you, but now you need to love him. Because we all need to humble ourselves. It's just a fearful topic, you know, talking about pride, because you're thinking, okay, all righty. I'm the next example. It's fixing to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody's like, let's all talk about it today. It was amazing. Right. But you know what? I don't want it to cost us what God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't want to lose the blessing of God. Listen, we're about to lose the country. Not because of politics, because of the church. This is what came first in America is the kingdom of God. The United States of America, not the land. Obviously the First Nation people here. But what came first in regards to the United States of America, the nation that God blessed and uplifted, was the kingdom of God. It was the pilgrims that came. because they were looking for a place to worship God freely, because where they were, the king put himself over the church. The queen put herself over the church. They thought they were the head of the church, and so they just merged the church and the government, and they put themselves over it. And if you switched your church membership from the Church of England to another church outside the Church of England, they called that treason, and you would lose your head. They would decapitate you. They would put you in stocks. They would put you in dungeons, and you would be made an example. And when they wrote the Constitution in America about separation of they didn't write, what they wrote about was that the government shall make no laws concerning the church. You're saying, King, mm-hmm. we've learned from you. Mm. Keep your hands off the church. It wasn't church, keep your hands off the government. It was like, because churches, this is, you know, listen, I know it's a beautiful building, and if it's raining, I'll go in there with you, and God's moving, I'm right in there with you. But understand, even though it has beautiful carpet and beautiful chairs or pews, depending on how you think you need to, you know, even if it has Bose speakers all around your ears and PowerPoint slides everywhere, which are really cool, and I am a PowerPoint person, and even if your worship leader has the most moose anybody ever thought about in his four hairs sticking straight up, which is cool, whatever, you know, if he's got the gift, let it rip for Jesus. That thing is not, that the building is not the church. Mm-mm. Quit calling it the church. You're the church. And the reason why God shows up in that building is because you are there. Listen, we redefine what the church is, and now they're using it against us. They're actually saying you have to be that building over there, or that organization, or that corporation. And now we minimize the church by calling it that instead of calling it you. Mm. But the reason why we call it that instead of you is because then the Bible doesn't apply to me. It applies to that organization, to that building. You know, when he says, you know, you shouldn't have any idols in the temple, we could go, that's right, you need to clean that foyer out. I can't believe that you're selling CDs in that foyer. It's like, oh my.
Really?
Oh my goodness. First of all, this is the download days. You know, that's like an 8-track talking like that this generation.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Steve, Pat, it's the weekend. Now, you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
The marathon weekend.
That's right. It's the marathon weekend, boys, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, 9 a.m. all the way till Monday, you'll be able to catch back-to-back VFN radio programs. You certainly don't want to miss it. No interruptions, no commercials, just pure education, pure inspiration, pure revelation on Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it.
I love VFN Radio. You know, yeah. I'm not saying it because I'm part of it. Is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation, and I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an iSomething or something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. But right. Listen, he's talking about the CDs being sold in your heart. He's talking about the idols in your heart. We have to redefine things. If we can get the right definition back in the hearts of the church of what the church is, again, it will help them apply the very same constitution, We don't have to change nothing. And they'll realize, oh my goodness, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're the church. And if two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, your king's name, he's ruling in your midst. So you better stay away from us if you're in the coffee shop with a couple of you. They feared coming amongst their number in the colonnades, outside, because God was with them. This stuff saying that somebody was in my church for 6 months and they didn't even know it was a church. What the heck are you doing? I mean, God even says, they'll say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. Right before the worst things happen, normally we as man are at our worst point of pride and blindness and just stupidity. And we're shocked. We're shocked. Walking in, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't have a job. Right? I was shocked, right? Well, how is my plans? You know, we don't have a country. This thing that called the Constitution's gone. Think about it. It's gone. The house that God gave me's gone. They're throwing me out. They put like don't enter tape on my door. It's my house. No, they were letting you stay in it. That's why they get the bailout money to the banks, because it really wasn't your house. The bank actually owned your house. That's why they gave it there. Listen, this is very important. This is not about anything, any kind of weird stuff, or no matter where the church is, the same word of God applies to the church. The same expectations of Jesus is always the same. So there's no such thing as like, oh, we're this kind of church or we're that kind of church. Listen, you're only the church if you follow Jesus and his ways. You know what I'm saying? And so it doesn't matter if you're meeting in a big, huge crystal building, you know, which is bright, you know, or if you're meeting at a coffee shop or under oak tree in Africa somewhere in the northern or the Malawi. It's the same word of God. It's the same thing. So it doesn't, you can't say because
I meet in a building, this is how it is, or I meet in a smaller building, this is how it is, or I meet in a house, this is how it is, or we meet in a coffee shop. Listen, it's the same Bible. It's the same God. Get over that. Understand this. We as Christians are the church. We're the Don't you know that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? You have to own this. If not, they're going to redefine you and minimize you and put you in bondage.
Sorry.
Your freedom is to worship God freely and openly is going to be put into some cave somewhere or be like training that was happening in China where they had to literally train their church how to jump out of a second story window. That was part of training as a church. So if somebody was going to come and raid them because they were worshiping God, that you had to learn how to jump out of a second story window and roll. They teach them how to roll out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine American church kid? You're going to need to jump out of the top of the mega building. No. You're going to have to land in the bushes. That shrub, don't land on this shrub because that's like that thorny, hollow, you know, leaf thing. You land in this shrub over here. Right? Can you imagine? It's like, oh, my goodness, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Like, who turned the thermostat down 1 degree? You know, you preached for 16 minutes. 16 minutes. When we hired you, Mr. Hireling, we told you that you teach for 15 minutes, and that's it. Don't you understand there's ball games and lazy boys and this is my time to relax. I want to be able to do my penance and get home. Do my penance and spend my penance. But the thing is, listen, if we keep defining it as that building and the organization, you know what? They're going to say, cool. Well, we'll regulate that building and the organization because that's not the church.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you don't have any rights at all. You're just this, what are you doing? Get in that building over there, like the 3C church in China, right? Get in that building over there. Get in that building. You hear Indonesia, they're fighting to get recognized. Be in a building. It's like, oh, don't, please. I mean, I love large gatherings and it's not a building conversation. It's about the building of the church, which is you, the person. But if you think you're legitimate because you're in a building, how many people just think, he's like, what are you? That's demonic what you're doing in that building. You know, it's like that building doesn't make you a church. You know, it's your building. What you're doing in your heart makes you the church. You know, what you're doing, that's the church. That makes sense. It's like, if I just get me a building and a sign. Yeah, just because you got a fish on your sign don't mean you have a fish in your heart. Don and I went into a particular church in Denmark and, ancient church in Denmark and where they buried the dead in the church.
Gosh.
The saints, they would bury them in the floors of the church. And they had one area that had like steel bars on it and had a devil on it. And you had to go up by in there and you walk down a couple steps. And these are the ones that went to hell. They would put them in.
Oh my God.
But we walked in that thing. You couldn't even breathe. There was so much death in there. There was such a spirit of death in this place that I couldn't even breathe. I couldn't breathe. My spirit was just, I couldn't. We had to walk out of there because we're literally, the devil had that building and that place there. And this is, you know, ancient situation.
Right.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what you meet in. Hopefully it's something nice. Hopefully something keeps you warm in the winter and cool in the summer and keeps the rain off of you. And, you know, the older you get, the more you appreciate cushions and stuff. And I hope the music's good that stirs up your heart, that causes you to worship God. But the thing is, you're the church. You're the church. And they're about to redefine us. They're redefining everything. They're about to redefine us. The church is deathly silent. They're redefining Israel as we speak. Our president went to Israel and tried to redefine them by the younger generation and saying, listen, we are basically a worldly culture. We're carnal. This religious stuff, you know, we need to just minimize all this stuff of your fathers, you know, as the last generation is passing on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to force change to happen. It's time for us, you know, I don't mind you doing your religious thing and all of that, but, you know, let's just be who we are and minimize your beliefs and your faith and all that. And they're like, yay! It was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And so, this is kind of connecting to the first hour. I mean, you can probably listen. It might make more sense to you, I guess. But you've got to own the definition of the church. If you don't, you're going to lose it. It's not that you're not going to be it, but they're not going to let you be it.
Mm.
They're going to say it's that building. They're going to say it's the building. Now, you can be in the building, but knowing that God's in there because you're in there.
Right.
You didn't walk into God. you didn't walk into a building. God was here. You know, mm-hmm. God's everywhere. God is everywhere at the same time. And if you're a believer, God is in you. And it's important to realize that. When you see all these miracles and everything being stirred, understand that's because the faith in those people, the kingdom began to get stirred inside their heart. They had faith to begin to get stirred. Mm. You know, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And so their belief in God and their belief that God can heal them when they touch the hem of this garment or that thing, God meets their faith and meets their need. Don't exalt yourself to say, you know, get out of here. That's God doing that. Mm. It's about God. Tommy Tenney said, you know, God's got this interesting idea. He feels the church is what? About him.
Him.
And it, by the way, that's a good deal if you don't know that or not. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But he's awesome also to be feared.
Hmm.
And he doesn't mind not only humbling us, but he don't mind humiliating us. Right. Using us as an example, right? He's like, great. Yes, I know. Okay. You know, so he's like, here goes, right? He doesn't mind. But I just feel like, you know, God's speaking to me and I'm seeing things I don't want to see. And we got to quit. Who am I to say anything other than yes, Lord. And I'll pray, God, that your people will listen, that they'll humble themselves, that the chatter of the hearts would stop and that we would say thank you for the blessing. That we would truly live a life for you, God, and not for ourselves. That we would deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. Lord, I don't want to be written over my epitaph that my generation didn't go in because we were prideful.
Mm.
Lord, give us grace to go in. Lord, wake up your church, God. We know you can. You brought a second great awakening to this nation on horseback with no technology. And today, one thing happens, and it's around the world within hours.
Mm.
Well, we know not only a third great awakening for America, but the world can awaken in a moment. Mm. In a moment where... Lord, we know that we can be speaking to nations and calling nations in to repentance. We know this, Lord. We know at one moment your spirit can move across the hearts of every nation where they'll huddle around their televisions and their media devices and their computers and they would listen and hunger, Lord. I pray, Lord, stir the hunger for you, God. And your voice and your presence in the hearts of your people, God. Give a holy dissatisfaction to the things of this life and the things of this world to your people, God. Dear God, save us, God. Deliver us from ourselves, God. Hear our prayers.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Steve, I was over the weekend, I received this text of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm minding my own business. You know, I like just to mind my own business and look after my own dogs. But why? Why did I receive a text message from someone on this radio program, not me or you right now?
Oh, okay.
That would be Pat, but I'm not mentioning any names.
Say the names, okay.
But he sent me this video of his two dogs, okay? I got to admit.
Y'all love your dogs.
Hey, man, dogs are cool. Dogs are cool. You should get one. You should get one.
Okay.
He sends me this video, right. And these dogs, I got to admit, Chris, it's actually kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
They're going back mm-hmm. and forth. Do we have that video? What were they doing? Talk to us here. I mean, were you? I think he spent hours training them to do this.
They're playing with the ball.
They're playing with, they got this. How big is Holly? Holly is a
she
lad.
She is almost 80 pounds.
80 pounds? And how big is Samson?
I think maybe 8.
He may be 10 soaking wet.
Oxymoron here. Samson is a little. And Holly's huge.
Right.
But they're going back and forth. And
we get Holly, Holly's on her back. Yeah. She's being gentle.
Very gentle. And Samson is the more aggressive. But it's just so cute. They're just going back and forth playing with each other. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. How long do they do this?
Oh, this will go on for hours.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they do this all day.
Really?
Oh yeah, until Holly gets tired of him. Just like, swats him like a bug. Get away from me.
That is so cute. It just, this goes, I mean, this was, and he wanted me to watch the duration of this 30-minute video. I said,
hey. I only sent you about a minute of it.
It seemed like it was an eternity.
This one's about 3-minute version.
Oh, okay.
And well, I had to turn it off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to put this available. We know that Pat has a lot of time, but we're going to put this available for you on the torch so you can see. But Holly and Samson, they're playing and getting it on, but it's so cute when you see these two dogs are complete opposite, you know, size, and they're just playing so nicely. It's like, oh, my goodness, some adults can learn from this video. Play nicely.
Right.
They're playing nicely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Holly and the dogs.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But what I want to talk about, you know, it's a lot of transitions. Mm-hmm. And with Labor Day, you notice that, mm-hmm. you know, there's kids that are going back to school.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. probably all the kids have transitioned back to school.
Yeah.
Summer is actually, you know, officially, quote unquote, over. Mm-hmm. And so we're transitioning to the fall. Some people are transitioning from being employed to not being employed.
Right.
Some folks who are unemployed are transitioning, going back to work, you know, and just look at the, I mean, just the season itself is changing. There's so much transition in the air, mm-hmm. and we got to take note about it. We got to just be aware. Sometimes people are some people are even transitioning in their finances. And the thing about transitions is that they're a part of life.
Right.
They just happen. Mm-hmm. They're a part of life, and we're always transitioning from one thing to another or from one place to another.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it's easy. Some transitions are easy and some are not. You mm-hmm. know, some things are just kind of okay. It's just the next yeah, thing. You know.
Right.
Then there's some other transitions. You're like, ugh, kind of stuck here. I'm trying to move, but it's not happening. I know the current is moving, but it's not happening. But transitions are always going to be hard for mm-hmm. those who refuse to accept what they're transitioning to.
That's right.
I'm telling you. I mean, look around. I mean, look at the season that we're in. You know, there are so many. I didn't even list them up. There's so many transitions that people are facing today. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the Israelites. You know, they were in transition when they were leaving Egypt.
That's right.
You know, they were leaving where they were, mm-hmm. right? Egypt right. in captivity, and they were going to a place of, you know, a land flowing with milk and honey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And freedom and liberty. But then there was this transitional period of time. You know what I'm saying? There was this desert experience, a wanderings in the desert. And you think about, wow, what was that like?
Right.
You know? And that's just the whole nature of transition, you know, is that you're leaving what's behind, but you're not quite there to what will be.
Mm-hmm.
And the temptation is that when you're somewhere in the middle, you're in the middle of that transition, you know, you start to feel uncomfortable maybe, you're concerned about the unknown, what's right. gonna happen. It's not what it used to be, and I don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people wanna look back.
Yeah.
They wanna look back.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the Israelites who were like, man, take us back. You know what I mean? My feet hurt. You know what
exactly.
I'm these sandals here, I got some corns. I mean, get me out of here, you know. And you think about it, they literally wanted to go back and go back into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. So you're so fearful of what's going to happen next that these people, the Israelites, they were willing to even entertain mm-hmm. going back to captivity. Now think about it. God brought them through a major transition. When God's bringing you through a major transition,
You need to take special note. You need to write that in your abiding journal. You need to recognize that God is doing something. I mean, you would think that the parting of the Red Sea, some plagues, some, you know, all kinds of stuff that happened, that that would get your attention. But they are in the midst of their transition, and they forgot what God was beginning to do. He was bringing them to a place.
Right.
And it's just that God's bringing a lot of people to a lot of places, and we just got to perceive and understand the times in which we live in. And you can't hold on to what used to be while you're transitioning to what will be. Right. It's so good. You can't hold on to what used to be while you're transitioning to what will be. You got to embrace the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in transition.
Yeah.
I was talking to my sons about this because, you know, they're going back to school. I got another son going to a different school. And I said, hey, there's a lot of transitions going on. And if your family's going through transition, I encourage you, speak to your family. Encourage everyone, because you know what? Not everyone understands transition, especially children. They don't understand that things are happening, things are changing, and they get lost in the midst of it. And they can sense and they can feel that something's changing, but they don't have a grid for it. And you want to present a grid for people to help them to understand that you're not crazy, you know, but things are indeed changing. And so I was talking to them, and I don't know if you remember this. Anyone who's listening today, any of our VFN radio listeners today who are listening and you have children, small children, or maybe you're a grandparent, you may be familiar with the show, you know, the movie Toy Story. You know, Pat, I know you are. I know this is one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah. All time.
And so I said, you know, kids, it's called almost like Woody. Woody's just this little character in Toy Story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who he was Andy's favorite, the little boy in the movie, his favorite little toy. But all of a sudden, Andy got a brand new toy. It was Buzz Lightyear, you know? And all of a sudden, there was a transition occurring because Woody was no longer the main dude. I want you to hear something, because there's one scene where you might be hearing he said strange things are happening. He's sitting on this bed. You got to remember this. He's sitting on this bed, and they have Woody flashback. He's going back. He had posters of Woody up. He's reminiscing of all the times they were playing. And he's like, what's going on?
I'm
no longer the man. Buzz Lightyear's taking over. You know what I'm saying? This is, if that's you today and you're like, oh my goodness, this is transitioning. This is not what it used to be. You know, but you know what Woody found out? Hey, man, transition's not all that bad. Him and Buzz wind up becoming good friends, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They moved on. But he was perplexed. You know, he was perplexed. He had an issue going
on.
It was
least.
What was that?
To say the least, right?
Yeah, he had some strange things were happening. And so people are either, this is how what happens with transition, you know, people can either find themselves wanting to hold on to what used to be. We talked about that. The other thing is that some people have very little discernment into what is happening. They end up where they need to be by hard shifts. You know, when I was learning to drive a stick automobile, stick shift manual transition, you know, let's just say that the car did a lot of bucking. You know what I'm saying? You know how you're just learning to shift that gear?
Right.
It should be a nice, smooth transition with the clutch and the gas pedal at the same time. You should transition smoothly from first to second to third,
right,
you know?
Right.
But when you're learning, you know, it's like, boom. The car was bucking all over the place.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, if you don't have a perception of what's going on, you have the perception of the season that we're in, you're going to make some major hard transitions. You're just going to kind of end up at a certain place, and it's like, what was that? I just landed in this transition. But the third type of person is able to understand and discern that transition is in the air. They're abiding with God. Let me tell you something. If you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're abiding every day. God will begin to speak to you on a daily basis. He'll begin to speak to you and tell you that things are shifting. Things are changing in your life, in your ministry, in your family, in your workplace. You'll know the sign of the times. You'll know what's happening in America, in the nation, in the world. And write it down. Write it down. And you can begin to prepare for the transition. You can prepare mentally. You know what I'm saying? Okay, get your mind right. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's coming. Get your mind right. Right? Mentally, you can prepare spiritually, physically, financially. But you can begin to make preparation for what is about to happen. Listen, America's in transition.
That's right.
In 60 days, mm-hmm. in 60 days, we're about to going to elect a president of the United States. We're either going to elect the current president, President Barack Obama, or we're going to elect Mitt Romney to be, the nation's leader.
That's right.
We're in a transition. It's interesting that once we do elect that the president, mm-hmm. right, that from November to January, when the elected president assumes his office, mm-hmm. it's a transitional period of time. The old, or the former president or whoever held that office, mm-hmm. Is either getting ready to exit, or if he's there, he's going to get ready, to assume it again. But there's that transitional period of time, especially when there's a new president elected, that they can transfer over power, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's 60 days. That president's only getting ready to set his agenda for the next 100 days. And it's amazing how even the economies and everything in the world, all the world right now is just kind of sitting and waiting and seeing what's going to happen in America. And in the transition that's occurring, I want to encourage you that no matter what happens, no matter what transition you are going through today, you can hold on to the one who never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. God doesn't change. He remains the same. You continue to abide. You continue to stay in God's word. You continue to hear his voice. And let me tell you something. God will bring you through any transition. Mm-hmm. He'll bring you through any way. He'll bring you through everything that we need to go through, and we'll be able to make it. We'll be able to sustain ourselves in everything that's going to be. Get ready. Get ready because change and transition
is on the way.
Is upon us. It is upon us. And you don't want to do a hard shift. You don't want to be bucking into transition and find out that you just got slammed into one and have to adjust once you're in. Mm-hmm. And you sure don't want to be on the bed like Woody thinking, moping, oh my goodness, strange things are happening. But you want to be one that perceives and discerns the seasons and the times that are upon us.
That's right.
And you want to prepare physically, you want to prepare spiritually, mentally, financially, and you want to be ready to embrace and hear what the Lord is doing in the season in your life and the season in this nation. And I'm telling you, a major reason people can't move forward is because they're trying to hold on to what used to be. Let me tell you something. Things are going to change. They're going to change. And you can't move forward holding on to what used to be. You'll never get what will be. Abide, stay close to the ones who will be able to pull you through.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.